Now, if you found Galatians 1 in your Bible, just look down, please, at verses 6 and 7, where the apostle writes to these relatively new converts, "I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ." Now, perhaps you will recall that almost as soon as God began sending the message of salvation by grace to the Gentiles through Paul, some of the believers at Jerusalem and Judea became concerned. They had known Christ only as their Savior King. He was the Jewish Messiah. They, like Christ himself on earth, observed the law of Moses and the covenant of circumcision. They knew nothing else. They simply believed on Christ as their Messiah, their Savior King. And now they asked, how can these Gentiles be saved and be the children of God like us without even submitting to the covenant of circumcision or the law of Moses? And as a result, groups of them went to the churches of Antioch and Corinth and Galatia, convincing many of them and from the Scriptures that it was necessary for them to keep the law of Moses with all its rites and ceremonies. The Galatians, it seems, had fallen for this line of reasoning most completely, so that Paul had to send them an urgent letter to get them reestablished in the grace of God. "I marvel," he says, "that you're so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel." I think I've made it clear, I've tried to make it clear in previous broadcasts, that the 12 apostles had been sent forth to proclaim the gospel of the kingdom and the gospel of the circumcision. Circumcision, you know, was the physical rite separating Abraham's offspring from the licentious Gentiles about them. And the gospel of the circumcision was simply that through Abraham's seed, all the nations of the earth would be blessed. Now, in Galatians 2, we read that Peter preached the gospel of the circumcision. Well, what did he preach? Let's read it. In Acts 3, 25 and 26, he says to his Jewish hearers, "Ye are the children of the prophets and of the covenant, which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Unto you first, God, having raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you, in turning away every one of you from his iniquities." But when the favored nation rejected Christ as their Savior, their Messiah, God interrupted the covenant program. He interrupted the prophesied program and raised up Paul to preach salvation and all spiritual blessings by grace alone. So whereas the 12 preached Christ as King to the Jews, Paul preached the gospel of the grace of God to the Gentiles. And these Galatian Gentiles had rejoiced in it. Paul writes in this epistle of their former blessedness and says regarding his severe eye trouble, "I bear your record. You would have plucked out your own eyes and given them to me." But now suddenly all this was changed. Now he asks in chapter 4:15, "Where is the blessedness that ye spake of?" Now they were fighting and biting and devouring one another, as he says. And how had they lost this blessedness? By letting the legalizers from Judea persuade them that the grace of God and the finished work of Christ were not enough to save or to bless them. So he exclaims, "I marvel, I just can't understand it, I'm baffled, that you're so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel." In chapter 4, verses 10 and 11, he says, Ye observe days and months and times or seasons and years. I am afraid, I'm concerned about you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain. And in the 20th verse he says, I desire to be present with you now and to change my tone, for I stand in doubt of you. I wonder whether you really have been saved, whether you've really come to know the grace of God. Now, it's often been explained that the Gauls, the people who inhabited Galatia, were a very fickle, changeable people, because some historical character complained that they were fickle. But truthfully, couldn't many politicians, almost all politicians and statesmen from all history and from all over the world, testify that their constituents were fickle, that the populace is fickle? Mankind in general is fickle. They change their minds all too quickly. I suppose the British have perhaps the best reputation for not being fickle. Yet after World War II, they showed how fickle they were. At the close of the war, Sir Winston Churchill was honored and acclaimed as the savior of Britain. But when soon after he ran for the office of prime minister, they dumped him in the most disappointing fashion. Surely he could, and he did, complain that the British, the people, were fickle. So Galatians 1, 6, and 7 should not be made to teach that the Gauls alone, or especially, were fickle and changeable. For Paul's word to them is also God's word to us. Looking back down through the corridors of history from Paul's day to ours, the apostle could surely say of the church as a whole, I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. For even in Paul's own day, the departure from his God-given message of grace began. Only the faithful few remained steadfast, and the vast majority returned to the message and program of a former dispensation, or at least adopted a large part of it. And this program contained in the Law of Moses and the Sermon on the Mount and so on appealed to them because of their ritualism and formalism. Well, now we come to a problem. Verses 6 and 7 together read, you've been removed to another gospel which is not another. Now, what does he mean by this? He says it's really not another gospel, but to be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. Now, it is true that two different words for another are used here. Verse 6 is heteros. You've been removed to another gospel. Verse 7 is the Greek word allos, which is not another. So, some commentators have explained that Paul meant you've switched to a different gospel, which is not another gospel. They suppose that these Gentiles had accepted a spurious gospel, which was not a gospel at all. But if this were so, wouldn't he have said, I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not really a gospel, or which is not even a gospel, or which is not a gospel at all? You'd think he'd say that if this new thing that they had accepted was not really a gospel. But he didn't say this. He said, I marvel that you have so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another. The idea is that there was no contradiction between the gospel of the kingdom, or circumcision, and the gospel of the grace of God. One was simply a further development, a further revelation of God's truth than the one that went before. God gave the law to show that man needed a Savior, to show him his need of salvation by grace through faith alone. Again and again the apostle makes it clear that his message was not a contradiction of what the 12 had preached. Some people think that we think Paul contradicted Peter. Not at all. Their messages were not the same, but they were not contradictory. What Peter preached at Pentecost was true. When he offered his people, if they would repent, God would send Jesus back. So there was no contradiction. Only, since man failed under the law and rejected Christ as king, God now raised up Paul, the chief of sinners, saved by grace, and sent him forth with a new and further revelation, which he calls the dispensation of the grace of God. It was the next number on the program of God. No, there was no contradiction. Romans 3:31 says, do we then make void the law through faith? By saying that salvation is by grace through faith alone, do we make the law void? God forbid, he says. Yea, we establish the law. For the law was given not to help us to be good, but to show us that we are bad and need a Savior. Those who say that the Judaizers came to the Galatians with a spurious gospel are wrong. The trouble was not apostasy from the word here, for these Judaizers had scripture and used it for their argument. The trouble was that they failed to recognize the further revelation committed to Paul by the glorified Lord. It was a dispensational error, for they sought to bring these Galatian believers who lived under the dispensation of the grace of God, as Paul calls it, back under the dispensation of the law. So, you see, we can go far astray from the word rightly divided by failing to recognize dispensational changes. For these legalizers were not unscriptural. They were undispensational. By the way, in Volume 2 of our 4-volume set on the Book of Acts, we have a whole section dealing with this question, and I think it's a very interesting one, a very important one. And believe it or not, we are still selling these books of about 300 pages each volume for only $3 a volume, or $10 for the set of four. Then it's only $2.50 each. So, if you're interested in a real interesting Bible study, if you'd like to go further into this question, why don't you send us an envelope with a $10, your $10 check in it, and write us for the 4-volume set on the Book of Acts, and we'll send it to you postage paid. We'll pay the postage. That's the 4-volume set on the Book of Acts. Really, it's called Acts Dispensationally Considered. If you want one volume, simply send us $3. Now, we don't often sell literature, do we? We give literature away every single broadcast, a great volume of it. But, of course, these are too expensive to give away, and I felt that some of our listeners might be specially interested in this set on Acts Dispensationally Considered. $10 for the 4 volumes. Now, as I say, the real trouble here stems from that most unscriptural notion that the Bible contains only one gospel. Now, don't turn your radio off. Listen to me. It's true that there is only one gospel for today. That's different. The gospel of the grace of God is that which we preach today, or should preach. But gospel simply means good news. And there are numerous gospels all through the Bible. Right here in Galatians 3, verse 8, we read that long before Paul was ever raised up to send grace to the Gentiles, it says, God preached the gospel, the good news to Abraham, saying that in him all nations would be blessed. Now, wasn't that gospel? Wasn't that good news? If God told you that through you all nations would be blessed, wouldn't you consider that good news? But more, God's word labels various gospels. There's the gospel of the kingdom, the gospel of the circumcision, the gospel of the uncircumcision, the gospel of the grace of God, and several more. Now, do you suppose God gave these gospels, these items of good news, different names because they were the same? Do you women label your preserves in your pantry strawberry jam, grape jelly, orange marmalade, stewed tomatoes, pickles, peas, peaches, and so on, because they're all the same? Is that why you put labels on them? How do you suppose they'd taste if you mixed them all together? Yet that's what people try to do with the Gospels of the Word of God. They mix them all together and their message is just as mixed up. Now, those who suppose that the various Gospels of Scripture are really all the same Gospel should think this through. Why, if they're the same, does God give them different labels? I said to a friend of mine, I can see how by some misinterpretation you might say that the gospel of the kingdom and the gospel of the grace of God are the same thing. You could say that through some misinterpretation, but how in the world could the gospel of the circumcision and the gospel of the uncircumcision, both spoken of in Galatians 2, be the same? Remember, the word gospel simply means good news. If I were to come to you and say, did you hear the good news? What would you automatically say? Wouldn't you say, what good news? Why don't people do this with the Bible? They'd understand it a great deal better if they did. Beloved, whenever you read that word gospel in the Bible, study the context and determine what gospel, what good news is being discussed. Now here in Galatians 1, 6, and 7, Paul says in effect that the Galatian believers had failed to ask that question. They had been lured from the wonderful gospel of the grace of God to another gospel, which had also been true, but it belonged to a former dispensation, and now was still going on among the people to whom it had first been preached, the Jewish nation. Some had perverted the good news about Christ. That was the trouble, Paul says in verse 7. Now, we're going to discuss that next week, God willing. But meantime, get it into your hearts and minds, the cause of Paul's and God's deep concern, the danger of confusing the blessed message of the grace of God with the messages and programs that are indeed found in Scripture, but belong to former dispensations. Now, my unsaved friend, God wants you to know the riches of His grace. He wants you to be saved simply by grace. No rituals, no forms, no deeds, no works, no acts, no payments, by grace alone. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 says, for by grace are ye saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. God's not going to have you boasting in heaven of how you got there. Romans 3:24, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 1:7, in whom we have redemption through His blood. Now listen, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. What more do you want? What are you waiting for? Why don't you accept this gift of God? The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.